CITR's third annual DJ competition is almost upon us.
The party is at the Pit Pub at UBC on Thursday, November 12th.
We want DJs of all styles and genres to show off their mad skills. You don't have to be a UBC student, just a killer spinner. The competition is going to be judged by five of Vancouver's best DJs.
And yes, there will be prizes. That's right, it's a no-rules, free-for-all DJ fight to the death with killer prizes.
Well, actually, there are three rules.
One, you must send a demo to enter. It must be under 30 minutes long. Showcase your unique flavor, be original.
Get your submissions in right away to ensure your spot. Send an MP3 file to thatdjcontest2009@gmail.com or bring hard copies to the station located on the second floor of the sub.
2. The DJ playing order is determined randomly.
3. Your score will be determined by three things: our judge's opinion, your poll, and the crowd response.
So get spinning, because CHR wants to showcase you at this year's DJ competition.
Prizes provided by Beat Street Records, El Cartel, and Lung McQuaid.
From Katya Grubyshik's What If Red Ran Out, The Audubon Guide to Self-Pity. When I lost the taste for robins, I began taking pictures of red. Maybe I was part hummingbird, had my parents made out in the back of a Corolla. How do you replace that firm grasp on a body, the familiarity of the hunt? I lost the bridge, its haunched girders curving like the charm of talons, the river's rusty tang, and the impossibility of running the other way. In the truss, the snarl of a nest, once a lookout for catching courtship dives, lost sight of weighty forested bends and sought more crimson setting in my periphery. Hardly housebroken, how could I fly all the way to Mexico, Alaska, the French Foreign Legion's last outpost? The osprey pair stayed invariably poised at the lip of the swamp where the spring peepers recanted their loneliness, asking, "Where is home?" In the slurry of leave-taking, asking, "Can we keep it?" Canadian writing show. Playing in the background is a little bit of Neptune at Night, a very new band that's going to be playing tonight at Café du Soleil as a part of Extra West's cultural series. It's an ongoing showcase for queer musicians, writers, poets, filmmakers, comedians, visual artists, and that's happening every second Wednesday of the month. So this month is going to be featuring Neptune at Night, which you're listening to right now, as well as folk songstress Liv Wade, comedy troupe The Bobbers, alt rock, that's Neptune Night, and that's going to be tonight, 8 p.m., by donation at Café du Soleil, Commercial Drive in 5th. So let's see, other events happening around the city for the listings portion of the evening. Happening this Thursday, November 12th, there's an event called Creating Collective Memory, Writing Social History. The SFU Writing and Publishing Program and Geist are presenting a three-day conference for people writing family stories, community stories, memoirs, or biographies. So if you're interested in writing that yourself, that's going to be featuring workshops and presentations by Jean Barman, Brad Cran, Jillian Jerome, Larry Wong, and Michael Yaglunas. It's terrible when you get people's names that you don't know how to pronounce, because it's kind of embarrassing for you and the person's name, so I don't actually know how to pronounce that. Yaglunas, let's say. Some more information about that, including perhaps the pronunciation of that person's name, at sfu.ca/WP. The tickets are between $50 and $295, I think, depending on which workshops you go to, and that's at the SFU Harbor Center. Also Thursday, November 12th, there's going to be another episode of the Robson Reading Series, which is going to be featuring poets Daniela Elza, Peter Marin, Al Rempel, and Anyana Yangwei, reading from Four Poets, which is a new book. So more information about that is at robsonreadingseries.ubc.ca. So that's going to be at the UBC bookstore in Robson Square. That's a free admission, and that's 7 p.m. this Thursday, so a good one to check out as well. So here comes another event on Thursday, yet another, and another name that's going to be really difficult for me to pronounce. And I remember this one because I've read her poetry on my show before, and I was trying really hard not to do that thing when, you know, you try to pronounce someone's name and you stumble over it and it sounds terrible, and I did exactly that. So I'll try it again. Let's wish me better luck this time. So Thursday, November 12th, 7 p.m. at W2 Performance Space, which is 112 West Hastings, as a part of Respondency West, Stephen Collis and Oana Avilisishoe are going to be reading from their works. And I remember Oana, which is what I'll call her. I read from a series of youth poetry, and she was really lovely. So definitely a good one to go check out. You can ask her yourself how to pronounce her last name. Don't ask me, because I obviously don't know. Okay, so this Friday, the 13th, actually, 8 to 10 p.m., there's going to be readings by Joyland Vancouver contributors Alex Leslie, Rachel Nudson, Rhonda Waterfall, and Michael Turner. So that's going to be hosted by Kevin Chong, 8 to 10 p.m., also at W2 Perel Gallery, at 116 West Hastings, so just on the same block. Let's see, Saturday, November 14th, a couple of things going on. Voices in Spanish, Books and Authors, 3 to 4:30 at the Vancouver Public Library on Georgia Street. So that's a Spanish-English bilingual program featuring local Spanish-speaking authors, and there's going to be more information about that at vpl.ca. Also, Saturday, November 14th, this is actually an event that's going on all week. CFSW, the Canadian Festival of Spoken Word, is happening in Victoria this week. Sadly, I can't go to the whole thing, but I will be there on Saturday night. I'm just going to go for the finals night. So when all of the winning poets of the competitions during the week get together and do their final showcase. So it should be a really awesome night if you have the chance to go. I think the tickets are only about $14, so if you have the chance to go over the Strait, definitely worth going to see. Past the weekend, Monday, November 16th, there is a Twisted Poets Literary Salon at the Bump and Grind. This happens once a month, hosted by Pandora's Collective, and the address for that coffee shop is 916 Commercial Drive. I think that starts at 7. And as usual, there's going to be a Vancouver Poetry Slam on Monday as well, 8 p.m. Sign up is at 8 p.m. at least, at Café Dislay, Commercial Drive and 5th. And this week's feature is Reggie Kabiko. So, on to the sort of poetry part of this audio text show. I'm going to be playing a few pieces of work that I've been hearing around town recently. I'm tempted to do yet another women-only show because I've been getting a lot of amazing stuff from women lately, including at the Women's Invitational Poetry Slam a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was, but I'm going to stray from that a little bit and play some youth poetry as well. So we're going to start off with Adric Brock. I'm not sure what the title of this piece is, but it was at the Youth Poetry Slam a couple of weeks ago, and it was a lovely piece. So here's that from Adric Brock.
Your mother scares me. Her face is a mask pretending to be you in your 50s. It's the way she says things with her eyes, like I know what you put in my daughters. I think all mothers are members of the Secret Alliance committed to freaking me out. When yours first held me in the suffocating grip of her stare, I felt my ugliest mistakes crawl like antacid up the tunnel of my throat, ready to hurl themselves into her box full of evidence on why I'm no good for you. Her arms folded across her torso like two bones on a black flag. Spies in every restaurant making sure I pay the bill, microphones in my clothing to formulate my shit and orgasm gibberish. You are an egg, cradled in the spoon of my palm. The race is forever, but your mother has stretched fishing line across the tracks. She pays traffic to make me late for our evening's walk. There was blood leaking from my kneecap where your mother hit her target.
That was Adric Brock. Coming up next from the Youth Slum as well, David Kerbitz talking about drug dealers.
You can tell my neighbor is a drug dealer by the amount of people that come in and then out of his house. And when it's cold outside, I can hear his heater humming. I can hear my footsteps running to his doorstep. I can hear his heater humming, and I think it's humming happy birthday to a tombstone or Merry Christmas carols on Easter, because here I am, born again, at my neighbor's front doorstep, pacing back and forth, forth and back and forth, forth and back, knocking on the doorbell like, let me in, 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 inside. And once I'm inside, sooner than later, I've got my fix, which is the easiest time to say I quit. So I'm just saying, I quit. Let me out of this place. I'm looking at the windows, doors, paying particular attention to the vents. I'm bent on blueprinting escape plans out of here. A jailbreak away from my neighbor's house. His crack pipe for crack cocaine, my cocaine, his cigarettes, his TV, my TV, his lady, his lady is so dirty, but I'm not clean either. So baby, maybe just let me in, then out, in, then out, in, then out. Let me stay forever here. It's warm inside. His lady, my cigarettes. I will put them to my lips, then say I quit both at least twice in one night. I might say I quit forever the next day, but baby knows I will be back next week. She knows I will be back next week because I'm weak. She said that maybe bad habits die hard because they make living life a little bit softer. Like padded walls for the torture chamber. Laughing gas for when the dentist is ripping your fucking teeth out. A life of pyrite for telling your friends it's all gold over here, homie. The Legion and the cheap alcohol for war veterans. I'm gonna change tomorrow for all the good reasons I thought of yesterday. Sunday morning scripture for Saturday night life, socialite sinners. Good alibis for the guilty. Ex-girlfriends for girlfriends. Again, plastic for the pretty getting pretty old. A heater humming for the cold. All of these are cheap magic tricks to cope like crutches, because without them we are back to being cripples. But with them we are butterflies pinned down to the insides of our own stomachs, because hey, we had to kill that nervous anxiety somehow. And I hate to admit it, but it's time to admit it. My neighbor's house is my home, and I thank God the heater's always humming when I'm cold. I'm a dying butterfly each day. Everywhere I see reflections of myself, and I'm finding new ways to stomach it. I thank God the heater's always humming when I'm cold.
I'm Peter Mansbridge, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
The AMS Sexual Assault Support Center offers support services to survivors of sexual assault and other forms of violence, as well as their friends, family members, and partners. They are committed to education and the support of students, staff, faculty, and visitors of all genders. They offer counseling, accompaniments, information, and referrals. They also facilitate specialized workshops and training sessions, develop public education campaigns, and hold special events related to anti-violence work. All services are free and confidential. For more information on programs and services or on volunteer opportunities, visit their website, www.ams.ubc.ca/sasc. So just before the break, you were listening to a piece by David Kerbitz. Next up, I'm going to play a piece by Ella Barton, who was actually visiting from Seattle to the Vancouver Invitational Women's Slam, which I was also competing at. And she was great, and I recognize that this person is not Canadian, but I'm thinking I'm going to bend my rules a little bit, at least on today's show, because there's some really amazing poets coming from the States who come to visit Vancouver, and I know that they have a great influence on the Canadian writers who work here as well. So, of course, you know, what's important to me is supporting local artists, but I feel like poets in general can get all the help they can get anyway. And it's also just interesting to hear what's going on the other side of the pond. So next up is going to be Ella Barton.
A response to the hip hop song "I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It" by Katy Perry. You kissed a girl and you liked it, but did you feel her? Did she ever feel you inside of her? Did you read her goosebumps like Braille across her skin to discover what makes her beautiful? Did you rediscover you're a woman by looking in her eyes? Did you lose your sense of time when you touched her? Did she touch you? I'm not talking about skin to skin or touching in a dictionary definition. Did she touch you? Did she wander in the darkest places of your soul and leave a piece of herself there? I'm talking about touching like snowflakes melting onto fingertips, found where your heartbeat skips and put her lips there. Kiss the tightrope in your mind, find your reason for being, seeing the things in you that you've denied entry to and opened your eyes to things above her that are complimentary to you. You kissed a girl and you liked it, but did you kiss her and dedicate the night to it? Could you appreciate her existence and the twisted resistance of your lips curved inward to impress the rest of them drooling on your submission to their artificial dominance? Why does it excite you to leave us without a place to be, without a definition or recognition, leaving people like you to make our decisions? Listen, our lives aren't as amusing as you're making it. Because while you're faking it, we're living it. Forgiving each stare like we deserve this. Removing our lover's name from polite conversations to save us from questions. You don't see this. It's more than a stupid kiss. We're hiding in closets, allowing our histories to be written for us. How can you continue to believe that your false intentions are for mere entertainment and not a trip in our step towards accomplishment? How can your flirtations with dreams be the very hands that assist in ripping us at the seams? How can you believe you're innocent to all of this? When did it become acceptable to sing carols about actions that are perils to others? She was just your experimental flame, a game, while men walked in streets in shame for doing the same? I kissed a girl and I liked it, but I get called a dyke for it. I had to defend my whole life for it. Don't tell me it was not your intention if you're glowing off the attention. Here's my expression for your cherry chapstick kiss. I hope your boyfriend don't mind it.
So that was Ella Barton, and I'm going to play as well another American who came to feature at the Poetry Slam a little while ago, who was absolutely amazing and one of the people that made me think maybe I should stretch my rules just a little bit occasionally. This woman's name is Karen Finney-Frock, and she actually works with teenagers doing writing groups and stuff like that. So she was a really interesting presence, and I'm hoping to bring back some more of her poetry later in the show, but we'll start with this one, which is titled Miss You.
We didn't speak for 2 months. Then his tour came through town. In a parking lot, he hugged me and said, "Miss you." Too stingy to include the I. Miss you. Like he was a fragment in search of a pronoun. Miss you. Like he was at a football game rooting for Mississippi State. Miss you. I have just won a beauty pageant in the state of myself. Desire to be words out of my ear and stuffed them into my purse. I might be hungry again later.
Yeah, and since that was so great, let's hear one more about lab partners from Karen Finney-Frock.
Our last names were close enough in the alphabet to be tongue-kissing. So we ended up lab partners in physics class. That's why we built the machine. I was a freshman, never kissed by a boy, call me late to bloom. He was a junior, lanky even for the track. Machine is a complex device designed to perform a simple task, like a pendulum, knocking open a trapdoor and releasing a hammer, all for the purpose of pounding a nail. It was 45% of our grade. Teenagers make out in forgotten places. Parking lots past closing time, city parks after dark. We went to my basement, my parents' footsteps whispering over the ceiling like gossip. It started with a cue ball, rolling down hamster chute, then knocking over a candle onto a book, setting it ablaze. It was a commentary on book burning. We were very alternative. We learned a lot down there. Did you know that if you have long hair and take off your sweater in a dark room, static stars erupt like 4th of July sparklers? Did you know that friction is the heat produced by teenagers rubbing their blue jeans together? The candle kept snuffing out before the book could catch fire. He said, "We need gasoline." I was a good girl, barely comfortable with second base. I did not bring combustible liquids to school. So every night we tried something new. A shorter candle, a longer wick, gasoline, he said, unhooking my bra like a combination locker. "No," I said, sucking his tongue like a frozen flagpole. "Gasoline," he said, thumbing my nipples like PlayStation controllers. "No," I said, reaching my hand into his pants like a beehive. "Gasoline," he said, pulling off my underwear as if he was a magician and my panties were a tablecloth. Ta-da! Our project was due the next day. It was still not reaching the satisfactory conclusion. In exasperation, we soaked the book in kerosene and lit up our science class like the encore at a Bon Jovi concert. And we both got A's in physics, and my mom found my panties behind the dryer, but she didn't press me about it. In the end, he left me for my best friend, who he eventually married, and no one got their heart broken, except for me, a little bit. Then I learned more about science than I could have gotten out of any textbook, especially one that had never been set on fire.
Carrie Brown, I cried. If I can't marry Carrie Brown, believe I'd rather die.
You have wandered into the folk oasis. Welcome to it.
Stop the world and let me on.
You are indeed listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
I've been trying to keep my mouth shut, baby. My dark ways, maybe.
Yes, 8 to 10 p.m. every Wednesday night. It's me, Val, hosting 2 hours of eclectic roots music. Folk Oasis.
All right, so we just have time for one more poet on our show today, one more pre-recorded poet. So I'm going to come back to the Canadians for a moment and back to the youth, and I'm going to play something from Keely, who is a very young, I think she's 16, but she's an amazing poet, and she was at the Youth Slam as well recently. So here's a piece from her.
At daybreak, your day you are not moving forwards anymore. You're still. You're frozen. It's cold.
Coming to the close of another episode of Audio Text on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Again, my name is JC Peters. Thank you so much for listening, as always. And to finish off the show, I'm just going to be reading a little bit more from Katya Grubishik's What If Red Ran Out, which is a recent book of poetry published by Goose Lane Editions. It's a beautiful book with lots of images of red on it. Because if you really think about it, what if red ran out? That would be terrible. Not really the literal question that she asks, but I thought I would share some of this beautiful, very image-laden poetry for you from Katya Grubishik, who is quite a young Canadian, actually, but lovely as well. So this next poem is called Raven on the Water Tower. Just when we thought we'd heard every sound these birds can utter, this one hewed out a burr between a reed and a bittern, the rasping of wheat and the war of a rubber belt in the heart of a machine. Every time it called, the whole body buckled, became compound, all beard and sod, wing feathers, a black sack of war, weather, dollar, an alloy of horse, crumpled rags. Was this a thing dying? Would it have been disingenuous now to add a second raven, a companion to ease our own choking solitude while cliff swallows like fireworks dive-bombed overhead? Conservatory. It was the reach and shudder across the open string, the bow a clavicle treacherous with memory that let us believe we had tried as hard as we could when we were young to take it with us, undistracted by the demands of acceleration, the uncertain companionship of sorrow and wisdom. The taste of that closed room was like old paper, old cologne. The petals had fallen from the red roses, and the white were brittle, to be sure, but complete, closed like jilted fists, missing the filigreed metacarpal's infinite division. The windows threw back no more than reflections, and we envied their poise. Our bodies now are shoddy metronomes. What still beats has decided to relinquish belief in linear time, so we let ourselves go, slur across the countryside, and when we jump fences, we land, as we can in our dreams, bionic. The fields are marked by sharp new furrows running north and south. In the center stands always a tree for shade and for delight, and beneath it the cellist. The whole is a study in madness. It is 100 years ago we are changing the fortunes, allowing a damper to drape over the evening, over the fields, the hands, the house. With arms outstretched on the lantern line. 36 days of thunderstorms doesn't seem like a great deal. What goes on the other 329 in London, Ontario, the country's capital, for that weather phenomenon? Not much else in its favor, really. Likely I'll get hate mail for that from those who prefer their creeks well paved. In any case, London is a miscalculation. In fact, the thunderstorms hang out to the left a little in a folly near the Lambton line. You can find it if you know it's there. And there are the thunderstorms you seek, one after another, all close calls with lightning bolts and crashing tequila-drunk skies. The rest of the time? While you wait, you can build snow forts with elaborate moats. You can practice skulking on the loam without sinking in your spooky shoes. Try to catch your peripheral vision in the act. Or take your turn planting windmills. Mostly those 300-odd days will be spent trying to outplay fate, scarecrow still and grounded, hoping this is it. Today could be the day. So those were a couple of poems from Katya Grbicic. Again, that book of poetry is called What If Red Ran Out, and it's published by Goose Lane Editions. So here we come to another end of our very short audio text show. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back next week. If you have any questions or comments or anything to request or anything like that, please don't be afraid to email me, audiotechcitr@gmail.com. I'd be very happy to hear from you. And let me know what you would like to hear, because I'll be happy to play it. I always need new ideas. So thanks again for listening. Coming up next, some Canadian music. And I'll leave you with a little bit more from Neptune at Night.
I think I want to stay naive. I think I want to still believe. Oh yeah, always comes as a relief, suspending my disbelief. So I'm in a crowded room. Come on, lock me in a crowded room. Come on, come on. About reality, I'm sticking to the fantasy for me. Trying to figure out the point, rolling up another joint. Oh well, lock me in a crowded room. Come on, lock me in a crowded room. Come on, come on, come on.
Sweet sound is the feeling I live for. Sweet sound takes my troubles away.
All right, that right there, if that sounds familiar, it's actually Pluto, the band who were had their heyday throughout the 90s, and they were a local band who were signed to Virgin Records, initially on Mint. So they started off as indie boys. And anyways, they recorded their last album, which was called Shake Hands with the Future. Shake Hands with the Future. That was in 98. I'm almost sure it was 98. And I have just played us a song that was to be on that album, but it didn't make the cut. So that's actually an unreleased song that was recorded over 10 years ago. It's called Nothing Could Ever Go Wrong. And that happened to have been one of my favorite songs that should have gone, I really think, on that album. It happens to be that my husband was in the band, he was the guitar player, one of the two guitar players. And they were a four-piece boy band, and I really, really loved that song, and I kept telling them, and they recorded it just over the border in Burnaby, so a very Western